Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Just in the nick of time. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text 21. It's up there. Kalim Magatam Agnaya. Kalim Agatam Ajnaya. Chitresmin Vaishnave Vayam. Chetresmin Vaishnave Vayam Asina Dirga Satrena Asina Dirga Satrena Katayam Sakshana Hare Katayam Sakshana Hare Kalim Agatam Agyaya Chetresmin Vaishnave Vayam Asina Digasatrena Katayam Sakshana Hare Kalim Agatam Agyaya. Vaishnavis. Kalim, the age of Kali, iron age of quarrel. Agatam, having arrived. Ajnaya, knowing this. Chetre, in this tract of land. Asmin, in this. Vaishnave, specially meant for the devotees of the Lord. Vayam, we. Asina, seated. Dirga, prolonged. Satrena, for performance of sacrifices. Katayam, in the words of. Sa shana, with time at our disposal. Hare, of the personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Knowing well that the age of Kali has already begun, we are assembled here in this holy place to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead, and in this way perform sacrifice. So this is obviously the sages of Naimisharanya speaking, and I think they're speaking to Suta Goswami. Yeah. So here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. This age of Kali is not at all suitable for self-realization by the methods practiced in Satya Yuga, the Golden Age, or Treta or Dwarpa Yugas, the Silver and Copper Ages. For self-realization, the people in Satya Yuga, living a lifetime of 100,000 years, were able to perform prolonged meditation. And in the Treta Yuga, when the duration of life was 10,000 years, self-realization was attained by performance of great sacrifice. And in the Dwarpa Yuga, when the duration of life was 1,000 years, self-realization was attained by worship of the Lord. But in the Kali Yuga, the maximum duration of life being 100 years only, and that combined with various difficulties, the recommended process of self-realization is that of hearing and chanting of the holy name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord. The sages of Naimisharanya began this process in a place meant specifically for the devotees of the Lord. They prepared themselves to hear the pastimes of the Lord over a period of 1,000 years. By the example of these sages, one should learn that regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. Other attempts are simply a waste of time, for they do not give any tangible results. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached this system of Bhagavad Dharma, and he recommended that all those who were born in India should take the responsibility of broadcasting the messages of Lord Sri Krishna, primarily the message of Bhagavad Gita. And when one is well established in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, he can take up the study of Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment and self-realization. Om Ginati Mananda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshurana Militangena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Eva Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam. So, some advice is being given here. And the advice is that in this age of Kali, the only method of self-realization that's suitable is the hearing and chanting of the pastimes of the Lord. And the sages of Naimisharanya, Prabhupada says, we should learn from their example. And by the example of these sages, one should learn that regular hearing and recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. So, what about people who don't take this advice? What's going to happen to people who don't take this advice and try to become self-realized by some other method in the Kali Yuga, or aren't interested in self-realization at all? What do they have to look forward to? Well, that was nicely described, actually, in a conversation that Srila Prabhupada had with Allen Ginsberg around, I guess it was about 1969. And I'm going to read an excerpt from that conversation where Allen Ginsberg actually basically asked the same question. What happens as Kali Yuga progresses? What's going to happen to the people who don't take this advice and don't seriously engage in hearing and chanting? What do they have to look forward to? So Allen Ginsberg goes, so Kalki comes at the end of the Kali Yuga? Prabhupada says yes. I'm not going to say Allen Ginsberg, Prabhupada, just from the voice. Hopefully you'll be able to follow. And is Kalki connected with the Kali Yuga cycle? Yes, Kalki, yes. So he would come at the end of the Kali Yuga to end the Yuga? Yes, then Satya Yuga will begin. Then what begins? Satya Yuga. Which is Satya Yuga, the pious Satya Yuga. People will be pious, truthful, long living. Are those people that remain, or whatever new creation comes out of the destruction? Anyways, what about the people who remain? He's asking. Some of them will remain, some of them. It will not completely extinguish. Some of them will remain pious. Parityanaya sadhanam vinishaya chaduskatam. All miscreants will be killed, and out of them there must be some pious. They remain. Do you think of this in terms of a historical event that will occur in the lifetime of your disciples? Prabhupada, no. This will happen at least 400,000 years after. So by that time, and then Allen Ginsberg, they will go down, down, down for 400,000 years. Yes. So at that time, my disciples will be with Krishna. And Prabhupada laughs, and the devotees go, Hari Bol. So then it goes on. And those who will not follow them, they will see the fun, how they are being killed. Ginsberg, 400,000 years, will people still be chanting Hare Krishna in 400,000? No. Hare Krishna will be finished within 10,000 years. There will be no more Hare Krishna. So what will be left? Nothing. Left will be, I'll kill you and eat you, and you shall kill me. You shall eat me. That will be left. After 10,000 years? Yes. There will be no grain, no milk, no sugar, no fruit. So I have to eat you, and you will have to eat me. Full facility for meat eating. Prabhupada laughs. Full facility. Krishna is very kind. He'll give you facility. All right. Why cows and calves? You take your own son. Yes, eat nicely. Just like the serpents, snakes, they eat their own offspring, tigers. So this will happen. And there will be no brain to understand, no preacher, nothing else. Go to the dog, and then Krishna will come. All right, let me kill you so that you are saved. But you see, it is actually a historical thing of 10,000 years for the chanting, of the diminishing. Prabhupada says, yes. Well, then do you think more people will chant Hare Krishna? Yes, more people, now it will increase. Up to 10,000 years, then diminish. People will take advantage up to 10,000 years. Then Allen Ginsberg, so this is the last rope, the last gasp, and Prabhupada says, yes, the sooner we take shelter of Krishna consciousness, the better. And then basically Prabhupada goes on here to describe how, just by the chanting, he gives some further description of some things that are prominent in the Kali Yuga. I'll just read one more. He says, in the 12th canto, he says, you'll find that all descriptions are coming to be true, just like there's one statement, Svikaram eva udvahe, marriage will be performed simply by agreement. Now that is being done, and lavanyam keshadaranam, people will think that he has become very beautiful by keeping bunch of hairs. That is coming true. These are written there. All things are there in the Bhagavad history. And and then Prabhupada concludes that those who are taking to the Sankirtan, Prabhupada actually says here one thing. So only those who practice Krishna chanting can attain moksha? Prabhupada says, yeah. They become immediately liberated and go back home, back to Godhead. And then Allen Ginsberg goes, and everybody else gets involved deeper and deeper in the yuga. Prabhupada says, yes. So that's what they have to look forward to. People who don't take this advice and don't take up Krishna consciousness and seriously practice Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada said, that's what they have to look forward to, which is not a very bright future. So better to follow in the footsteps of the sages of Naimisharanya and take up this process of Krishna consciousness. Somebody might say, well, you know, I've taken up this process of Krishna consciousness and I'm not getting anything. I don't seem to be reaping the fruit. So what would be my advice to them would be, keep going. You know, it's sometimes you have to be, as Rupa Goswami says, utsahan nischayat daryat tat tat kama pavartanat. Patience, enthusiasm, determination, all these things are required. You know, it's not like somebody becomes Krishna conscious overnight. You have to really be determined and persevere and like that. And there are so many examples of devotees who are reaping the benefits of Krishna consciousness throughout our movement here in this room. So one just has to focus on that, you know, all the different success stories that are there in this movement already. And hopefully everybody's had their moments of ecstasy. Remember that as well, and just plow on. One thing that is helpful, because it's talking about here how constant or regular hearing and chanting of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the method for self-realization. And one thing I found helpful, although I'm not the best example of it, but I've done it on and off, mostly off, but when I did do it, it really worked, is more than just hearing, it's when you actually discuss what you've heard with other devotees, and even beyond that, it's very helpful to memorize verses. It helps you get absorbed in the philosophy. There's that expression, in one ear and out the other. And I don't know if they had that back 5,000 years ago. People, I think, probably Prabhupada would say that, people would hear something and remember it for life. Not anybody, but brahmacharis, Naishtika brahmacharis, they could hear something and remember it for life. But in Kali Yuga, there's a tendency to just in one ear and out the other. So sometimes I think it's a good idea to do a bit more than just render submissive oral reception, especially if you find that you're not retaining. Sometimes it's a good idea to concentrate on, memorizing things, and that way you get it. Something sticks. Something's going to stay in there. And I had an interesting experience to that in that regard back, I guess it was about 1973 or 4. I was a new devotee, and I was going out on Sankirtan every day, and actually it was 1974. And Harikesh, at that time, he was a brahmachari. He was the acting temple president, and he was managing the temple from the kitchen office. He was also the head cook. So I remember coming back from Sankirtan one day, and I was complaining to him. I said, I'm going out on Sankirtan every day, and I'm working hard, but I'm not blissful. I feel like it's just work. And he said, well, that's because you're not absorbed. Your mind is not absorbed in Krishna. I said, what do you mean? I'm getting up, I'm coming to the program, I'm going out, I'm doing my service. And he said, so what? That's okay. You could be doing it mechanically. Your mind is not absorbed in Krishna, and that's why you're not feeling enlivened. I said, well, how do you get your mind absorbed in Krishna? And he said, well, okay, look. Pulled me into the kitchen office, and he said, here's a list of 13 verses from the Bhagavad Gita. These Prabhupada gave him that list, and he said, if you learn these 13 verses, I'll memorize them, come back, and I'll explain to you how you can preach them, use them to preach. And I said, okay. So I thought, I learned the 13 verses. It was exciting. I had something. And it wasn't difficult, and I found that once I, when I tried, it got easier. And I came back, and he was happy, so he gave me another 26 verses to learn. And he said, okay, when you learn these 26, come on. Same thing. I learned them quickly. I came back, and he said, whoa. And he said, okay, now learn the ninth chapter. And I did it. I went and learned the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Came back. By that time, the devotees had come back from India, and things resumed back to normal. He was no longer the acting temple president, etc., like that. But I went on after that, and I memorized the seventh chapter, and then the second, and then the third, and a whole bunch of stuff, more than that. And I found sometimes that when I was chanting the verses that I'd memorized, because if you're memorizing something, you're concentrating. You can't memorize something without concentrating. Right? Our philosophy is always remember Krishna or never forget him, to have your mind concentrated on Krishna. So you're concentrating when you're memorizing something, for sure. And I can remember one occasion where I was, this was a year or so later, I was in Manhattan, and it was the Prabhupada Marathon, and I was on a party of a few other brahmacharis in a van, and we would go out to the suburbs in Connecticut or Westchester County or over in New Jersey, to do Sankirtan. Anyway, I got up late, I missed the van, I missed everything. I missed prasadam, I missed So they just sent me out to 8th Avenue someplace, 6th, 7th, 8th Avenue, just downtown to do some Sankirtan. And on that particular day, it was cold. It was drizzling. As I said, I didn't sleep properly, so I was tired. I missed prasadam, so I was hungry. And it was a marathon. And everybody during the marathon, back in those days, that was serious business. As Mahamuni Prabhu knows, you know, you didn't just kind of go, oh, well, I don't care. No, you expected to do something. So there I was, about like 11 o'clock in the morning, down on whatever it was, 8th Avenue and 52nd Street or whatever. And I was just, you know, there I was trying to, I was supposed to do, distribute some books and get a good result. And I'm standing there and it's cold and it's drizzling and I'm tired and I'm hungry. And, you know, and there wasn't a lot of people there. You know, it was inclement weather. It was the winter. And there wasn't a lot of people on the street. And I said, oh, my God, this is like, you know, freak out. What to do? And I didn't know what to do. But I actually, by Krishna's mercy, I made the right decision. I just decided, okay, I'm going to just try to remember Krishna. And I started chanting the verses I memorized. I started with the second chapter, and I just started chanting these verses. Tam tata krishna avrishtam ashupuna collection of ashidam tamadam bacham. Like that, one after the other. And within about within minutes, I started feeling like the anxiety went away. You know, all the anxiety went away, and I started feeling kind of calm. And then within like 5 minutes, I was feeling blissful. I just was chanting those verses one after the other. You know, the investment paid off. The investment paid off because I was getting absorbed by Krishna's mercy. I was, you know, feeling experiencing a higher taste, relishing the transcendental sound vibration, chanting these verses I'd memorized one after the other. And I got a realization at that time, which was that, yeah, definitely, this Krishna consciousness is transcendental. This process is transcendental, because otherwise, how could I explain that I'm standing there, being cold, getting wet, being hungry, and being tired, and feeling blissful? There's no material explanation. It was just Krishna consciousness transcendental. You take shelter of the process, the internal potency. And if, you know, when you experience that higher taste, you realize, wow, it's nothing to do with material pleasure. You know, there was no material pleasure there. I mean, everything was the opposite. It was just materially, everything was distressful. But by Krishna's mercy, by the mercy of Prabhupada Lord Chaitanya, you take shelter of the process and you transcend. You actually transcend all these, you know, material miseries. The tiredness, hunger, being cold, getting wet, and the anxiety of no result. And I just was chanting the verses and feeling blissful. So that was a good experience. And but, you know, Maya is very strong. Somehow or another, despite the fact I've had these, you know, from time to time, really good experiences, chanting verses, shlokas that I've memorized, or some bhajans, like the prayers to the six Goswamis, Sri Sri Sad Goswami Astaka. I had a period where I was chanting that prayer repeatedly. And, you know, just same thing, feeling really absorbed, really feeling, relishing the transcendental sound vibration, really feeling in ecstasy. Actually, I'll just relate the story briefly. I was in Australia at that time. And I can't remember the exact year, but it was, once again, it was the Prabhupada Marathon. And leading up to that, I was the temple vice president in Sydney, Australia. And they wanted me to go out on the marathon. I wasn't going out on Sankirtan. I was just managing stuff around the temple. But they wanted me to go on the marathon. So, okay, I had to surrender and do it. And at that time, we were selling paintings, because there was some problem in Australia selling books on the street. We had really bad PR. So they stopped it for the time being, and we were selling paraphernalia. We happened to be selling paintings. So I got out there on the first day, and I was going shop to shop with this big roll of paintings. And, you know, I hadn't been doing Sankirtan for a while, so I wasn't exactly in the fire. And I was kind of like anxious and not feeling very optimistic about what was going to happen. And the people I was approaching also didn't seem very interested. I mean, nobody was even looking at the paintings. I wasn't even getting a nibble. And then after about 45 minutes, I got kind of discouraged, and I went back to the car, and I just sat down there in the front seat. And same sort of situation. Okay, now what? What am I going to do? It was a month-long marathon. This was the first day, and I was going, oh, my God. Anyway, so there was a book up on the dashboard, fortunately. It was an Anchalila Volume 1. I thought, okay, well, let me read a little bit. Maybe that'll help my consciousness. So I opened up the book, and I started reading, and I think the title of the chapter is Rupa Goswami Meets Lord Chaitanya, something like that. I can't remember. But I remember it was the third or fourth verse. I got only a few verses into it, and I read this verse. It goes, Hi Goshai Kore Chadanabandan Yaha Hoite Bignanash Abhishtaparan Shirup Shisanatan Bhattaragunath Shijiva Gopala Bhatta Dasaragunath. It's Krishna's converge Goswami, and he's praying. He says, I pray for the mercy of the six Goswamis, because by taking shelter of their lotus feet, all impediments to devotional service will be annihilated and one's real desire will be fulfilled. So, and in the purport, Prabhupada just kind of elaborated upon that, that if, you know, if one takes shelter of the Goswamis, six Goswamis, all material impediments will be annihilated and his real desire for the transcendental desire for devotional service will be fulfilled. So I thought, okay, well, I might as well give it a go. You know, and that's, here's a hope. So I just thought, well, let me try it. And I just decided, okay, I'm going to just go back out there. And I started chanting that, just the last line, Bande Rupa Sanatana Raguya Go Shijiva Gopala Go, like that. And I just started chanting that over and over. And simultaneously I was praying to the six Goswamis, you know, please give me your mercy. That's what it said. If one adheres to the lotus feet of the six Goswami and prays for their mercy, all impediments will be annihilated and the transcendental desire for devotional service to the Supreme Lord will be fulfilled. So I just decided, I'll take it literally. I'm going to take this literally. What do I got to lose? I'm at zero anyway. So I just said, I'll take it literally and see what happens. So I did. And I just started chanting that over and over again. And lo and behold, everything changed. You know, I just started walking to these stores and the people started, okay, what do you got? Let's have a look. And, you know, they started buying the paintings. That was the Sankirtan we were doing at the time. And I also started feeling kind of enlivened. And I wound up having a good day. And then I decided, okay, well, let me kind of, you know, take it a bit one step further. So I had a songbook, so I quickly learned that song, Shishi Sad Goswami Astika. I learned the Sanskrit and the English. It took me over a period of a few days like that. And then my program was that all day long, as I was walking from one store to the other or whatever, I'd just be chanting the Sanskrit and then the English translation. Again, the Sanskrit, the English translation, the Sanskrit, the English translation. And each day was getting better and better. And it went through the whole marathon like that. So anyway, by the end of the marathon, I actually wound up tying for first place at the end of, you know, result-wise. And there was a lot of good, you know, amazing experiences. But the thing was that it was just another amazing experience of having, you know, going from a situation where it was seemed totally hopeless. And I just made that decision to take shelter of you know, the words of Srila Prabhupada, the instruction, and things went from, you know, night to day. You know, it just changed so dramatically, so drastically, and it was obvious to me that it was exactly that. There was no other reason. It wasn't like I changed clothes or, you know, started smiling more. No, everything was the same except for one thing was different. I just made that decision. I'm taking shelter of this instruction. Just like, you know, at first I took shelter of the chanting of the Bhagavad Gita verses, and here I took shelter of this instruction of Prabhupada, and everything changed from, you know, as I said, night to day. And it wasn't just the external result that changed, but even, as I said, internally, while that was all happening, I was relishing that chanting. You know, it wasn't like I was mechanically chanting it. I was chanting it. It was great. It was enlivening. So anyway, I did some, in preparing for this class, I thought, well, yeah, you know, this is a good program of memorizing and then chanting what you've memorized. As I said, it really helps you be absorbed and concentrate your mind on Krishna. So I remember there was some years ago I came across some list, some devotee, I don't know who to give the credit to, but they compiled a list of the verses most quoted by Srila Prabhupada. And I'd had it 10, 15 years ago. I gave Mother Narayani a copy. I don't know, she's not here at the moment, but anyway, I didn't want to go chasing it down. So I just took a shot in the dark. I just went Google, and I Googled verses most quoted by Srila Prabhupada, and sure enough, something came up. I got it right away. So I printed out a copy, and if anybody's interested, they could let me know, and I could print them copies. But what it is, it's a list of the 181 verses most quoted by 180 verses most quoted by Srila Prabhupada, starting from the most quoted verse. And then the next, you know, one goes in sequential order there. And it's, I recommend this as a program for everybody. Start with number one. Everybody knows number one. Can anybody like to say what's the most quoted verse? Huh? Well, you're close, actually. You're close too. It gives the Hare Krishna mantra as number one. Okay. And that was quoted by Prabhupada over 1,400 times. But number two is Sarva Dhammam. Anybody like, what's number three? The third most quoted verse, or let's say the second most quoted verse by Srila Prabhupada, all time, in lectures, and I guess that's what it's referring to, lectures and conversations. That was, Dehinosman was a good guess, but can anybody, huh? That's it. Janma Karma Chamedivyam. That was number three, actually, counting the Hare Krishna mantra. Anybody like to guess at number four? No, that doesn't even make the top. Oh, yeah, that makes the top ten, but it's not number four. Number four, anybody? Any other guesses? Any other takers? What? Actually, no. Since you mentioned that, though, because according to Sat Swarup Maharaj, that's the verse that Prabhupada lectured on the most, but not that he quoted that verse the most. Anyway, number four is Ishvara Parama Krishna, then Bahunam Janmanam. So the idea is you get this, and you go right down the list. Start at whoever you are. If you're really fortunate, you might know all 180 already. And if you don't, then you just start from the top, and when you come to one you don't know, learn it. And then just keep going until you got all 180 under your belt there. And then if a rainy, cold day comes along and you're stuck out there, you just start chanting these verses. Start with number one and just work your way right through the list. I mean, that's a lot of verses, 180 verses. That would take you probably like a half hour to chant 180 verses. That's a good time to get enough time to get absorbed. And anyway, it's a nice program. And also for preaching, would anybody like to guess at the most quoted Srimad Bhagavatam verse? What's the verse? What's the Bhagavatam verse that Prabhupada quoted the most? The top number one Bhagavatam quoted verse. Anybody? Any takers? Yeah, most quoted verse. You're close. That's up there. It's actually Natavadu Swarga Gatim Hi Vishnu. Yeah, that verse by Prahlad Maharaj. And another biggie up there was Savai Pum Sam Paro Dharma, and then Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Anyway, you know, we listen to Prabhupada lectures, you hear him quote these, and this is, if you know 180 verses like this, when you have time to, you know, it'll give you a lot more confidence when you have to preach. You really don't need to know any more. I mean, you can, it's great. I think probably Dravida probably knows about 1,800 verses, but if somebody just knows the verses on this list, you know as many verses you need to know to give a class on any subject. You know, these are the verses Prabhupada most quoted, so good idea to memorize those. So, that's a suggestion how to increase the quality of one's hearing and chanting of the pastimes of the Lord, and counteract this tendency to have this information just go in one ear and out the other, which at least does for me a lot. I know I got to make a concentrated effort, otherwise it just doesn't stick. And this is a good program for doing that. So if anybody would like a copy of this list, they can approach me after the class, and I'll make copies. And I'll even put it in a nice plastic page protector for you so you can have it. And maybe we'll think up some sort of a prize or something like that for devotees who actually learn all 180, because that's a good accomplishment. You know, but we'll haven't formulated anything yet, but we'll see. Okay, so I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Mahamuni Prabhu.
Practicing every day by hearing the Bhagavatam to prepare for death. We're simply preparing for death. And when you were saying that, I was thinking personally how many times I've been on that bed recently in the last 6 years, thinking, what am I going to do? You know, I just put in Prabhupada in my ears and listen and try to meditate on Prabhupada. But this method that you're saying, this is simply preparation for the time of death.
Yeah.
And it's so enlivening to hear your story. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad somebody liked it. Anybody else? Well, let me see by a show of hands. Make it less embarrassing for everybody. Who would like a copy of this list? Let me see how many copies I should make. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, so I'll make a couple dozen. All right, well, thank you very much. Gantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada.
Experience,
so, you know, a game-changing experience, so to speak.
Thank you.